Does our social media play there in China?
Google, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, so X. These are all banned. So what needs to happen is if you want to see the content, which is the best pickleball content, it lives on social media in here, they have to use VPN. And that's that comes at a great risk. They could get fined if they get caught. There are people now that are being good Samaritans by taking, you know, what comes up on the Ding, the pickleball clinics, stuff like that, and adapting them to Chinese socials. And so we do get, we do see some of it over there, but they would need to have their systems in place to be able to censor anything they deem to be sensitive on the spot.
I'm Paul Olson. I'm the host of the Future of Pickleball show on the Selkirk TV channel. This is a show we get a chance to talk to people from all over the world, and we're covering a couple of different continents here today. I want to welcome Yui Si Lau to the show. Yui, welcome.
How's it going, Paul? Thanks for having me, man. Real excited for the role.
You know, it's been kind of fun. I had an opportunity to meet Yui for the first time at a Pickleball Minds conference last May. And then we ran into each other again in Las Vegas. And then we ran into each other in Dubai recently. It's you get around a lot, man.
I guess. I mean, pickleball gets around. So just as somebody who's kind of rooted now in growing the sport and especially in China and in Canada now, I've got to keep up on things. So I'm always happy to run into you, Paul. Always
good. Fun. You know, I want to really what we should start off with is a little bit of you have a little bit of a different background in the fact that you're so involved both in Canada and in China. And I primarily want to talk to you about China today. But give me a little bit of background as to what's your overall involvement. How did you get into things and where has this taken you?
Sure. So I got into pickleball, I guess, not like everybody else. I didn't catch on to or fall in love with playing it. I was, my background's in media music production. So prior to pickleball, a lot of my music's on Disney, ESPN, Fox, ABC. So royalties and licensing were my bread and butter. When I got into pickleball, it was because Tyrol, the purpose-built for pickleball shoe brand, the first ever one to market, needed a creative director. And so, you know, I was kind of somebody who could help out on a one-stop shop level, whereas a lot of times when you bring in a creative director, they've got to outsource the video, the photo, and they've got to find people to do that. I had a team. I was able to do the content creation in-house. And so I guess I got the call. And since then, we've been, deep in the pickleball game. So because Tyrol sponsored the PPA tour in 2022, I went to literally, I think, 8 of those stops in 20s with Tyrol, with the booth and everything. And I got to thinking, a group of us actually got to thinking that are also working with Tyrol, that, hey, how come we don't have this in Canada? How come the Nationals are still just, you know, no prize money and still being played on, arena floors that have taped lines? Like I feel like we could step it up a bit. And so there was space to do that. And we started the Canadian National Pickleball League, which is Canada's answer to the Major League Pickleball format. And from there, started working with Duper. Duper, we felt like we wanted to grow pickleball in China, and there was no rating system in China that was dividing up the players in their categories. So we thought Duper was, up to bat in that sense. We brought him over to China. Lee Whitwell came with us, did player clinics, helped set player ratings. And from there, we've just been working to grow the sport there as well. We're partnered with the Chinese Tennis Association, which has been recently chosen and announced to be responsible for developing pickleball in China under our company Fullsend Pickleball in Chinese Fuxing Pikachu. So just been busy doing that as well. So through Duper, obviously brought minor league pickleball to China. It's gone very well. And so now we've taken on the task of growing minor league in Canada. So really got a lot of things going on. And obviously, you know, our work with the Global Pickleball Federation as the at-large director for China. There's also work to be done there now that they've decided on who's in charge in China. Looking forward to seeing if we can get them a membership in the Asian Pickleball Association.
Very nice. Very nice. You've actually covered a couple of things that I want to come back to as sure, we go yeah, through this. One of the first things that I really want to kind of chat with you about is when we start talking about China, and there's been a lot of buzz in the media about China happening. There have been some tournaments and events. We've had a number of American pros go over there and participate. Give us a little bit of an idea of what the culture of pickleball is in China and how they see the sport similarly or different than we do.
I think it's largely the same. The craze and what initially gets people is how accessible and how easy it is to have a good time. Obviously, Chinese people have very traditional family values, as well as really prizing health and fitness above as a priority in their lifestyle. And you see that being a factor in why they like pickleball so much. It's because, as they say in China, three generations of a family can have fun together, and it's good for your health, it's good for fitness. Everybody's having a good time, so you're really seeing the sport grow in terms of participation. But right now, it's turning around. The tide is turning a little bit. But prior to minor league pickleball, Yuki and I had quite a lot of trouble trying to get them to wrap their heads around the idea of a rating system and why it's so important to have something like Duper. And it didn't have to be Duper. I mean, if China had something going on at the time where they were, already dividing players up by, skill level, we would maybe not have been so eager to usher Duper in. But because it wasn't there and we felt like this is such an integral part of any tournament, really made a big play and continue to impress upon the Chinese pickleball community the importance of having something like Duper in this case, because there's nothing native to China. Let's use Duper. Let's take advantage of what's available out there. No need to reinvent the wheel. We'll just use this and everybody can see where they stand, on a global a platform as a rating system can get right now.
Is there in China currently, they're obviously very involved culturally in tennis, badminton, table tennis. Do they have the breadth of age participation that we do in pickleball?
Yeah, I think even in the early days in China, when it was first starting out, I would say in the more southern regions of China, so like the Zhuhai area, the Shenzhen area, I would say at the time, this was just like in America, started out as maybe a sport more catered to the older demographic. But as a lot of the athletes from the sports that you just mentioned, badminton, table tennis, tennis, realized that this is something they could come over to and a lot of them find it more fun than the sports they were currently playing, they get hooked. And now we're seeing the age group come down, just like we've been seeing, with the advent of these pro tours and pro leagues in America. The age is obviously coming down significantly as well. So I'd say the Chinese are maybe industry-wise and in terms of their development in the sport, maybe 20 years behind where the U.S. are. But I think if they want to, and as the sport grows, let's say it's announced that it's going to make the Olympics, or American universities and colleges start announcing scholarship programs, this will really start bringing together people to kind of rise up and say this sport is now worth us you know, taking time out of our kids' academia to put them into, because it's a ticket to get a chance to study in the U.S.
You know, I do want to just take a little jump backwards. Would you let my audience know about Yuki? Because I know she's very involved in the things that you do in China.
Yeah, so Yuki is I wish she was here. She's the one, Yuki Chen is the founder of Full Send Pickleball, and the Chinese version, the company of that, Fuxing Pikachu, which is partnered with the Chinese Tennis Association. It's one of 18 entities that's mandated in this collaboration to develop pickleball, and only one of only seven to be authorized to do so on a national level. So she's done a lot of great work. Because she's native to China, a lot of the communications with the players, a lot of the education that we've been doing in terms of sessions, seminars across China, she's largely been the one responsible for it. She would be Duper's voice in China. She would be minor league pickleball's voice in China. I'm just the guy that's lucky enough to be along for the ride over there, for sure. So
yeah, well, you're a pretty good driver. I like that.
I try. So really, she's kind of taken on a lot in terms of trying to grow the game. I would be remiss to think that there are people that are taking pickleball seriously in China that don't know who she is. So she's really got it, you know, kind of a blanket coverage situation right now going on.
Now, one of the things that I, you know, is so different, China's more than four times population the size of the U.S. And you have so many in China, you have so many giant, enormous cities. Is there any identification between this being something that's a big city sport, or is it also done in some of the smaller communities in China? How is it developing that way?
I think the first filter I would put on this one would be weather, climate. Just like in the U.S., the southern states do better than the ones that have snow 6 months out of the year, right?
Sure.
So it's a similar situation in China. I would say like the Zhuhais, the Guangzhous, the Guangdongs, the Chongqings have the stronger players because they are, even with outdoor courts, they have more time to, you know, get court time and practice and whatnot. But as far as geographic goes, really, it's just been wherever people can find space that's not too expensive. So in similar situations where you're not seeing too many courts in New York City, in Los Angeles, in these, high cost of living areas, it's similar. But there are people who are trying to make it happen still. So like Beijing has courts, despite how expensive the real estate there is. Shanghai has courts, despite how expensive the real estate there is. They're just not very big. But four court facilities are better than no court facilities.
Sure. And now on that order, when in China, is there a public park system? We've had such success in our country because we had all of these empty or lightly used tennis courts that went back in the day. Is there anything similar to that, or is it mostly a facilities are built and or they multi-line, multi-use them? How does the access work?
Yeah, I think now there are more facilities that are giving players access to dedicated courts. These are still largely private. There are some governments in certain regions that are more supportive than others in terms of growing the game. And so you'll see maybe more courts or better infrastructure in those cities. For example, Hengqin. Mr. Huang Yujie, who is the director, I hope I get this right, the director of livelihood affairs of the Deep Cooperation Zone, which encompasses Macau, Guangdong, and Hong Kong. It's a big area, and he's been very supportive of not just pickleball, but the right way of growing pickleball, which, you know, it's, we know that it's very easy for things to get sidetracked and go sideways. But he's been very focused on making sure that, you know, the competitions that happen in his area are as, you know, as tied in with Duper as possible. And as right. And so he's been an ardent supporter. So, with pickleball and him, he himself being a player, he's been, very, you know, able to kind of, move city infrastructure to help the growth and host events that you wouldn't see, you know, with governments that maybe haven't caught on yet. But I'm sure it's really just a matter of time. Obviously the bigger city, the bigger the to-do list. So your priorities are,
sure,
are right. But, I think it's only a matter of time. They are doing a little bit better, in terms of setting up in big cities than North America has been. I would say that because in at least in Canada and what I've seen in the US, the best courts are still on the outskirts.
Well, and you know, I think there's this natural propensity to develop these programs, you know, where there's space. It's sort of interesting to me as I think of China. You know, one of the questions that has come up in my mind is, does our social media play there in China? Can the Chinese players see the maybe not so much?
It's risky. They obviously, Google, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, so X, these are all banned. So they're
absolutely banned.
Absolutely banned. So what needs to happen is if you want to see the content, which is the best pickleball content, it lives on social media in here, they have to use VPN. And that's, that comes at a great risk. Not great risk, but a risk to them. I mean, fine, they could get fined if they get caught. Yeah, that's the risk they take to get to consume the best of pickleball. So
okay.
There are people now that are being good Samaritans and doing God's work by taking, you know, what comes up on the dink, the pick, pickleball clinics, stuff like that, and kind of adapting them to Chinese socials. And so we do get, we do see some of it over there, but it's not obviously the amount that you would, you know, that you'd be able to find in.
Is there a way within the Chinese media system? I remember looking up in my notes here. I think it was back in 2023. CCTV Chinese television did an article that I saw. I couldn't understand it, but I saw it being done about pickleball. Is there a way? I'm asking the question, I guess. I've seen so much of what's happened outside the United States and Canada has been because people could see the game played. They could, you know, if they liked it, they could be inspired by, oh, well, where does this thing go? Is there any way to help move that through the regular governmental channels where it's non-political, it's just a sport, or is that too touchy?
I think it would have to be fed to one of the Chinese platforms. I don't think inherently there's anything wrong with the content, but they would need to have their systems in place to be able to censor anything they deem to be sensitive on the spot. I think that's where, yeah, sure, we definitely could. There are definitely platforms that exist that could the SRT feed from a PPA tour or an APB tour could be fed through. But yeah, they would monitor the content through their platform rather than.
Well, and I really love hearing about a local politician choosing to get involved with it, because in my mind, that's always the kickoff point. When it happens and it's successful in one part of the country, other people will monitor it and go, oh, there's a lot to this. There's something cool about this. Let's get it going. And so that'll be a good thing. You know, you've had a number of tournaments, and I'd like to kind of get your take on what the tournaments have been like, both up through the end of 24 and what's going to happen as we move into 25 on tournament scene.
Okay. So I think largely we saw the tournament scene really start to boom in 24. In 23, when we went in the summer and in the fall of 23, it was still, you know, prize money was like $100, you know, et cetera. And now you're looking at, you know, tournaments that have, you know, $250,000 prize money or prize pools attached to them. It's gone absolutely crazy. Now, With it though, has not yet come. Like I said, the again, this is such an important. I feel like a broken record. I continue to harp on this, but the lack of ratings, like the division by rating, is really hampering, in my opinion, the growth of pickleball, and especially on the competitive tournament scene out there. The good players are not getting better, and the players who feel like they are weak and want to improve are having a hard time. Because imagine, you know, we're in the same age group or age bracket. I'm playing at a 4.5 level. You're playing at a 3.0 level. Every time you come to a competition, it's like this is the same people, and the circle is not, the community is not so big yet that it's different people everywhere you go. Like, I'm playing the same people at this tournament east of China that I'm playing in the west of China, that I'm playing in the north of China. It's always the same people. So if that situation is the case, a reality, and you are playing at that 4.5, I'm playing at the 3.0, I'll get discouraged to the point where I'm not
gonna absolutely
want to play, and then you're just gonna come out for the prize money and go home.
Right,
so this doesn't serve anybody any purpose. So luckily we're trying to write the course here with the minor league pickleball that has come in October of 2024. It's the first series, as you guys saw in the Dink, in the article there, that has been brought into China, that is dividing consciously people by their skill level and only allowing people to play at the skill level they've been.
Well, and I've got to imagine once you demonstrate that, it makes so much sense. And our sport is a little bit different in the standpoint that somebody who might not be the obvious better player might actually be the better player. And the events are so much more fun when everybody's really competing on a level plane. And particularly if there's some prize money there, that's a cool environment. Now, you've had, I know a number of the pros have played in India, American pros. Have you had any of the Americans come in and play in China yet?
So we're working on it. We were supposed to last year. The sponsorship fell through, and what we weren't able to, really get that off the ground the way we had hoped. But this year we are looking at working directly with the government to do this. So look out for something early January.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I'll tell you what. I'm really looking forward to that. I think there's been such goodwill. I've followed Megan and Rob Nunnery and the traveling that they do. We got to get Rob a little healthy again. But
Megan,
it just seems to be such a great ambassador cultural exchange when we can do it. I think that's just such a cool thing. I will tell you, I think you're so on the track. With everything that I do in the sport, it really looks like Duper's doing a great job everywhere that they go, and that system and that mechanization works out so well. I think you're on the right track there. I did want to ask you, with what you're doing with Duper, are you seeing anything at a school's level or a college level of anything happening? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so Duper had a very successful year doing their collegiate tour in the U.S. in 2024. We had, again, hoped to emulate that under the banner of the PWR CCT tour. We did four events, and that kind of, again, the sponsorship didn't connect like we had hoped. That kind of put that on the shelf for a little bit. But with this year, we're hoping to integrate minor league pickleball into the Duper Collegiate China tour, and then have a team, the best team in China at the collegiate level be sponsored to come compete in the in the US. So the global exchange portion is really what we always work towards. I think that's really the culmination of our efforts. If we can get teams going back and forth and sharing culture, sharing the sport with each other and growing the game that way, then I can go to sleep feeling like I've done something cool.
Well, and I think it is such a forgive the expression, game-changing environment, but that ability, I'm looking forward, I'm following very closely what's gone on. I've had Noah Sumenik on my show talking about collegiate. He's actually going to come on again in the next couple of weeks, sort of do an update show And it's getting to be pretty monumental with the interest of the Asian countries of students coming in on student visas to American universities. I think it's just that's going to be such a natural building block. We really are kind of coming to a point that it's something you mentioned something early on that the Chinese Tennis Association has adopted pickleball as the leadership organization. Is that an official statement?
That's as official as
tell it gets. Us about
they've
that.
They've announced it themselves. They've been the general administration. I hope I get the English translation right, but the general administration of sports on the national level in the government had a decision to make for the earlier year and a half that just went by. They had to decide between the multi-ball society, which has sports that are not quite mature enough to have their own society yet, like bowling, golf, for example, that are not quite popular enough, more niche. They all fall under the multi-ball society, and multi-ball association was making a play for pickleball, and so was Chinese Tennis Association. And so it was finally in the last month or so, maybe two, given to the Chinese Tennis Association.
Now, so that's very exciting to me. I wasn't aware of that. So I'm aware of the multi-ball association within China as well. Yeah. In your perspective, is that a noteworthy thing that the Tennis Association took it on rather than the more obscure multi-ball group?
I can't claim to know what goes on at that level to impact the decision, but I do think that we were partnered with the Chinese Tennis Association from even before the decision was made. So we were just hoping that this is how it would play out. But I mean, just because I'm not familiar with the inner workings, I wouldn't really know what tipped the scales in either direction.
Okay.
I would be more of an observer and just kind of happy that we're still out here grinding and pounding the pavement.
Now, in my mind, that's a pretty big deal. Does that, you're very involved with the GPF, does that get us closer to being able to have China become part of the GPF?
That it most certainly does. So in April of 2024, I brought Pranav Kohli, who is the president of the Asian Pickleball Association, to actually meet Ms. Sun, who is the Secretary General of the Chinese Tennis Association in Beijing. And so we had a conversation. Pran was able to kind of really give Ms. Sun the lay of the land in terms of why it's a good idea for this to happen and the benefits that Pickleball China as an association would be able to get out of their membership, right? And so I guess now that they've made the decision, it makes it a lot easier for me to kind of pick up where they left off back when they didn't know who was going to be in charge and
sure.
Things were up in the air. Yeah.
Well, I think that the moves that the GPF are doing that are so positive on an international scale is the fact that it allows countries to be, as we all get this single banner worldwide that is the GPF, let's say, as the governing body of the sport, it makes such a natural transition then to this is how the game is played around the world, this is the culture around the world, these are the rules around the world, this is how ratings work around the world. I think it just makes such a great story to tell for our sport from one end of the one side of the world to the other. And so I think that's really exciting stuff. I'll tell you what, please, if that comes together or we get something hard and fast of them coming in, let me know. I'd love to get you back on to talk about that because I think that'll be a very instrumental moment.
Definitely be sure to get you the scoop once I have it. Trust me.
Good. We like scoops. Scoops are
good.
Yeah,
it'll be big for, not close, but I'll tick this off my to-do list and it'll be a big one. So I'm actively pursuing in pursuit of this as well.
Yeah, I want to ask you, while I've got you on the show, one of the things that's kind of is my personal bucket list item in 2025 is I really believe that if we can achieve a global governing body, that will be one of the biggest media moments that pickleball has ever seen, because it puts us on a level of all of the other major sports, that we're now global and we're played all over the world. The rules are the same. Everything about the game, we're similar to tennis, table tennis, badminton, all of the different global sports. Are you in agreement with me? You think I'm on that right track there?
Absolutely. I'm not just in agreement with you. The IOC is in agreement with you. And if pickleball is to become an Olympic sport, there are certain requirements that need to be met, that the sport needs to meet on a global level. And what you just touched on is the key to getting all that properly. And I believe, I feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. I could have my info wrong, but I feel like that's the play for GPF. And if it's not, I feel like it could be, and it should be, because like you said, if once you have a global governing body, then you have standardization. Once you have standardization, you have at least something to package and deliver to the IOC. And from there, it's going to have to have, your city competitions, regional competitions, nationals, and then it's going to have to go continental and international. And these all have to be under that global governing body sanctioned by it before it could be delivered. And that's why that 2032 might still be too soon. Everybody's excited about 2032. I'm excited about 2032 as well, but realistically, I think it'll be 2036 before it's getting any real consideration, because that what we just went over there takes a great deal of time to set up and execute and implement. Yeah.
Well, and in my mind, the Olympics is a very cool, important component, but I think that there's a authenticity and a credibility that our sport acquires when we are a global sport.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's really where, is my, I know GPF is working. Actually, I had Chandler Carney, who wrote their bylaws specifically to be able to have it coincide fully with the IOC compliance. And that was very, informational to have her on. Actually, I will tell you folks watching this, I've had Chandler Carney on that talked about these rules, about the IOC very clearly. And I've had Pranav Kohli, who Yuri was talking about from India. And I mean, there's so many movers and shakers that are just doing things around the world. It's really getting pretty insane to see what's happening. So I want to keep that going. Now, with what you do with the GPF is great, but also you personally, you're involved sort of on an agent basis, or do you do consulting? How far and wide do you go in the brand work and marketing that you're doing with brands into China?
That's an excellent question, Paul. I think these are all pieces of the ecosystem that I feel like, if I feel like there's something cool that could be brought into China that they don't have, or they have difficulty getting access to, I want to do my best to get it to them, right? And so for a while, that would have been brands like the Pro XRs and the Tyrols of the world, right? Brands like even like Duper, for example, would have otherwise not been something that Chinese people really would have known to seek out on their own until maybe far later in the game. I'm always doing what I can. And so when you ask about agency as well, it goes the other way around, because now there's a lot of Chinese paddle brands that have, lots of financial, a very strong financial backbone, that are looking to invest in themselves in the American pickleball market to get themselves visible there. An early example of that would be a brand like New People, right? New People sponsors Jack Foster in the APP, and so since a year and a half ago, you saw New People on his paddle and everything, and so now there's more and more of these New Peoples, and they're more seeing that, and so as a result of that, I got with somebody who I'm obviously proud to call a friend now, Sam Flaxman. Of Top Notch Management. And he just said, look, because a lot of those guys were just asking for people who happen to be on the Top Notch roster.
Sure.
Right, they're asking about them at least, or at least interested in them, and the conversation just evolved to, well, let's expand Top Notch over to China and have you guys kind of be the strategic advisors for China for pickleball. And so anytime these things come up and these kind of titles come up, I have to kind of give my attention to, it's because these are now pieces of an ecosystem that previously we may not have had access to, for example. Like, this could open up doors for a way to for the brands to enrich themselves in the Chinese market, for players in North America to kind of land themselves a deal out of China. These are all things, and then obviously then it increases the opportunity for exchange, because let's say a Li Ning sponsors an athlete in North America, they bring them back once a quarter for clinics under the Li Ning banner. I mean, these are all great things for the growth of the game in both continents. So as long as there's no conflicts, right? I'll take on a shoe brand. Obviously, Tyrell's my baby. I'm not gonna, I'm locked in there. Pro XR, right? Like, but I've also, I've looked at bringing CND Nets, for example, that they're at the MLP events and whatnot. I want Chinese people to be able to access the best of what we got, right? And so whatever that may be, and whoever's willing, right? Sometimes you contact a brand and they're not ready yet to as good as they might be, they're not interested maybe in the Chinese market just yet.
So in terms of the people that watch this, I get an awful lot of the business community watching this. For sure. Somebody who wants to reach out to talk to you about what might be possible, how do they reach you?
I'm online, man. I'm at trackopsmedia.com. That's been the media company that I've been working on a lot of the pickleball brands we've gone over in this conversation also Full Send Pickleball. So that's if you go just at Full Send Pickleball or at TrackOps Media, cool. I'm easy to be found. Type me my name in somewhere, you'll get me. Get me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's also a great way to get a hold of me.
Good. You know, it's really been fun having a chance to kind of get this information. You know, the reality of the pickleball space is we have lots of information that seems to float around. Not all of it's necessarily right on target. So it's been great to get a chance to do this. Let's do this again, and let's keep in touch as the China thing moves on. I wanted to tell you I've been invited to attend the Continental event in the Americas that will be in Cancun in wow. December, which, to the best of my knowledge, will be sort of the first of the Continental pre-Olympic type events that will be done. And I'm really hoping that they're able to do something really special where it lays a track for then 26. And I think 26 will be a very big year because it's the 2 years prior to the LA Olympics in 28. And
that's right.
We'll continue to mature and kind of move in that direction.
That's right.
Is there anything in your projects or things that you're doing that I haven't covered that you want to mention?
No, I think we've covered a lot. I mean, Canada, China, back and forth. It's really been, I mean, I'm sure there'll be more projects to talk about as the year goes on. Always excited to get to tap in with you, Paul.
We'll do it again.
You're an A plus guy, man.
Cool. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been watching this, you've been seeing this on Selkirk TV channel. Selkirk makes this possible for me to be able to interview these kind of people and talk about what's going on around the world of pickleball. You can get the Selkirk TV app on your phone. It's free, and it's the most informative app that exists in pickleball anywhere in the world that you can get it online. So, Yumi, thank you again very much. I've sure enjoyed having you on the show. We will stay in touch, and let's talk again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you so much, Paul. Appreciate you. Cheers.